You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 4th of December. I hate the freaking Lakers, but boy, do they look good. We'll talk about that. A really murderous stretch for a Jazz offensive team that doesn't look good. And what has gone wrong? How could we have missed so badly on the Jazz offense? That's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, firing you up for another Jazz game, and hopefully making it a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan. Jazz and the Lakers tonight. LeBron's in town. Always a lot of fun. Certainly one that could right the ship in just one moment. Jazz find a way to pull this off tonight and win this one. Lakers playing last night in Denver. Jazz coming on their first game back from a road trip. Both teams will be slogging around the court tonight. And if you can somehow find a way to pull this one off tonight, not only will it just fire everybody up, but it will, I think, fix all sorts of problems that may or may not exist. So that's certainly, this is one of those feel-good games. You go get this one and then have a few days before you get ready for Memphis on Saturday. Oklahoma City, who's playing pretty well on Monday, head over to Minnesota, whose defense is great right now, and then back home for two, Golden State and Orlando, before heading back out on a moderate road trip that's actually not so bad other than the flight back from Miami, but we have 2 days off before we play again. So schedule tames out a little bit after today, and hopefully it'll be all right. However, the Lakers look awesome. They just look awesome. I watched them last night. Their season somewhat changed, I think, at halftime against us in the what was probably the second game of the year for them when they started playing Alex Caruso. When they have Alex Caruso, and they don't have Avery Bradley right now, but when they have Alex Caruso, Danny Green, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Dwight Howard on the floor, they are crazy long. Long, aggressive, kind of endless, actually, is how I felt about them. They just keep coming at you. Defensively, they're super good. And then they're coming at you downhill with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And the other one that jumped out to me, and this is a weird one, was that the amount of what I thought were not very good possessions that the Lakers have where they end up making a shot. So, in other words, not a great possession, swinging around, and then Anthony Davis gets a left baseline jump shot, and it goes in. Swinging, you know, not very good possession, doesn't really go anywhere. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope gets it. He doesn't pass, so I think he's in the second percentile of passing. And he makes a shot. I mean, this is what's so interesting about them, is they've got these two guys. It's really a two-man show, right? It's Anthony Davis, 26 points a game, and LeBron James, 26 points a game. And LeBron's at the highest usage rate in the league at 37%, and Anthony Davis is right there at 28%. And then the rest of their guys, other than Kuzma, have a pretty low usage rate, and they also have an incredibly low assist rate. So that when they get the ball, their job is so clear. Just shoot. Just shoot. Like, make the play. Like, Danny Green, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso, Avery Bradley are all in the lowest assist rates of anyone in the league. So that when you've collapsed up, James and Davis are just coming at you downhill, and then they're just making plays for everybody else. It's pretty potent. They look great. I'm not going to, like, they won their 10-game win streak, and snarky, you know, I'm snarky at them for the fact that they look so terrific in that stretch, because, you know, if we can all get 10 games against below 500 teams, I think we'd look good. And frankly, their offense has not been very good now that they've played good teams the last night. Dallas and Denver, those were not particularly good offensive performances, but their defense last night was amazing. Their defense last night was, you know, we talk about keeping people under 100 points per possession. They just did that to Denver last night. They kept Denver's defensive rating down to about a 94. They're never going to lose when they do that. You know, they've lost only three games all year. They lost to the Clippers on opening night. They had a bad offensive game against us. They had a not very good offensive game against the Spurs, but they were able to win it. They had a not very good offensive game against Toronto, and they lost. And they had a not very good offensive game against Miami, but they won it. They killed them, 95-80. Their defense was just amazing. So when they're having these bad offensive games, which they also had against Dallas and Denver, more about half of them, their defense is so long, so aggressive, and so potent that they're getting through it. And that's pretty awesome. Their starting lineup's not great, depending what they start. But if Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green, LeBron, Anthony Davis with JaVale McGee has been negative. And then everything they bring in after that has generally been pretty good. Anytime they have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green on the floor together, it's actually not good. But otherwise, they really keep it going. Not having Avery Bradley does hurt them. Avery Bradley is pretty vital to who they are, and his body is failing a little bit. So I think that'll be interesting to see what combinations they find. Rondo's playing pretty darn well right now. But they're good. They're going to come at us. And you're just dealing with two guys that are amazingly difficult to guard. And we'll see how that plays. Kuzma has not been a positive for them yet. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is not a positive for them. That would be the two weaknesses. But they're the sixth-ranked defensive team in the league. And, I mean, just what a stretch for the Jazz. They've played the second best, third best, fourth best, sixth best, and ninth best defense in five of their last nine games. And doing it while, frankly, not being right, right? Like, offensively, we're just not right. Maybe not good. I mean, I'm assuming not right. I still just can't believe that this is what we are offensively. But we're 26th in the league offensively, and we're just going on a defensive route of, you know, Denver's defense is number one in the league. That might be why Lakers didn't look very good last night offensively. But Milwaukee, number two in the league. Philadelphia, number three in the league. Toronto, number four in the league. Lakers, number six in the league. Indiana, number nine in the league. So in five of our last six games, we're playing, you know, five of the best nine defenses in the NBA. Minnesota's at 12. They're actually playing great recently. They're the fifth best defense in the league. So we have that coming up for us. Oklahoma City is 13th. It'd be nice to just play. You know, we played a not very good offense defense recently in Memphis and got rolling in the second half of that game. A Washington, Charlotte, Golden State, Atlanta, Cleveland, San Antonio, New Orleans, Memphis, those would be nice for us. It's kind of what the doctor's ordering for us offensively right now. And when you go look at what our best offensive games this year have been, you got it. Right? Like, our best offensive games this year, Sacramento, New Orleans, Golden State, Brooklyn, Clippers on opening night, we were pretty good. Milwaukee, actually, we were very good the night without Rudy, and then against Golden State. Everything else has been a below-league-average offensive performance for us. Our worst coming against the Lakers on October 25th, which is the daunting part about tonight, particularly since we're doing it without Mike Conley. And the minute we don't have our main guys on the floor, our offense has just been really struggling. So offensive rating, league average offensive rating, just so I can put everything in perspective. And the number, it's a kind of a bummer. Numbers are floating around differently all the time. But the 15th ranked offensive team, according to Clean the Glass, is at about a 109. So call it 110. That's always what I like to say. Our offense without Mike Conley on the floor this year is 101, or the 10th percentile. Our offense without Donovan on the floor is a 96.9, or the fourth percentile. Our offense without Bojan on the floor is a 97.6, or the fourth percentile. So without Mike Conley, what do we do? Our offense with Emmanuel Mudiay on the floor is a 105.8, 29th percentile. Our offense without Dante is an 84.1, or the zero percentile. Our offense with Mudiay and Donovan together is less good than with Mudiay by itself. That's why this whole Jazz have been playing with the rotations. Having Donovan spend six of his minutes with Mudiay doesn't seem to be having any benefit. Offense with Jeff Green on the floor, who should be kind of your off-the-bench scorer, is in the eighth percentile. And your offense with Jeff Green without Donovan Mitchell is in the zero percentile at 84.5. That's pretty daunting. So going up against a fierce defensive team tonight, without Mike Conley with an offense that Quinn Snyder is going to have a hard time putting a group on the floor that has a pretty good offensive rating. I suspect that he may start Joe. Let Donovan play the point with Joe handling a lot and see if we can recreate the pick and roll we did with Rudy. And then I have no idea what he does after that. I don't, you know, that would be my best guess. But if you try to find lineups without Mike Conley, as Mike Conley's not available tonight due to hamstring tightness, according to reports, it's hard to find lineups that are good offensively. As I said, our offensive rating without Mike Conley is a 101.2. It's in the 10th percentile. So if we'll see what we roll out there. If it's the Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert lineup, that's played 33 possessions this year. It has not, its effective field goal percentage while on the floor is a 27.1. Yeah, that's effective field goal percentage. In other words, that group has an offensive rating of a 48.5 in 33 possessions. So this is going to be, this is a tough, tough task. We'll touch on that. We're going to look into where I was wrong today. You know, I had this team as one of the best offensive teams in the league. How could I have been that wrong? We'll look at it through points gained. Coming up here on Locked On Jazz. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Store. 6200 South, 20th East is the first store. They're now at the Gateway also, right downtown, and then even the new mini store, 900 South, 100 West. The store is Utah's own. That's the signature of the store. Scott and Jeff go out and find people, whether it's June pies out of Heber or the cotton candy lady or the chip lady or some, or the great salsas that they find around town. They find the Utah brands and they put them in the store. Plus all the other basics you want to get, the Clifford Farm eggs are a favorite in our house. My wife will be mad at mentioning those in case so they don't sell out. It's a great environment at the store. You can feel that it's Utah's own. You can feel, particularly when you're at the 6200 South and 20th East and the high school kids are taking the groceries out for the older folks who need a little help as they're getting to their cars and that kind of community customer service. You can feel the localness. There's a good urban feel to the Gateway one downtown. And of course, there's the great Mudslide Cookie. There's Nitro's on tap, kombucha's on tap, fabulous hot lunches at both the stores at 6200 South as well as downtown. The Gateway's really got a great lunch thing going for you. And then, of course, the mini store is quick grab and go at 900 South, 100 West. Stop by, visit the store, and experience the local greatness. And, of course, grab your Mudslide cookie and your Leathersby's Locked On Mudslide ice cream while you're there. All right, let's dig into some of our offensive droughts just so we can keep an eye on them, just so you have the data and then try to look at what is what we missed on, or what I missed on more than anything else. By the way, Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks, audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible free trial. You can choose one audiobook, two Audible originals. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go. If you can't visit Audible right now, then go to Locked On Sponsors at LockedOnPodcast.com/offers. LockedOnPodcast.com/offers. All right. I know there's a lot of discussion of offense, defense. I just think it's 100% offense. Not 100%, but I think it's a lot. Here's why. Indiana, second quarter, we score 3 points in 5 minutes and 30 seconds. That actually wasn't so bad. That was just like an 8-3 run. Against Memphis, we score 5 points in 5 minutes. It's a 14-5 run. Like, allowing 14 points in 5 minutes and 8 points in five minutes is not terrible. The fact that we stayed in both those games is actually a sign to me the defense was pretty good. Or Indiana and Memphis offenses weren't great. Against Toronto, we score 3 points in 6 minutes. We get outscored 22-3. And then we do it again. We score 4 points in 7 minutes. We get outscored 23-4. That team's just running down your throat. And then in Philadelphia in the second quarter, we go 4 points in 7 minutes and get outscored 23-4. That's the killer. That's the killer. Is these offensive stretches where we're leaving the defense out to dry. 4 points in 7 minutes against Philly. 4 points in 7 minutes against Toronto in the second quarter. 5 points in 5 minutes against Memphis. 3 points in 5 minutes and 30 seconds against Indiana. And that goes back to what we talked about in the last, earlier in the show. The offense without Conley, 10th percentile. Offense without Donovan, 4th percentile. Offense without Boyan, 4th percentile. Offense with Dante, 0th percentile, 84.1. Offense with Moody, 29th percentile. Offense with Jeff Green, 8th percentile. Offense of Jeff Green without Donovan, 0 percentile. Like, these are the areas where we have to find some mechanism of offense and get some scoring going on and try to find some things for us, or else I don't know how we, you know, that's the issue to me. We can talk about all these other things and all this talk that I've been doing as well about, I mean, the floater's a problem. The lack of cohesiveness and this and that. And you know what? That might all be total bullcrap. Because the issue is we're 30th in the league in offense in second quarters. And even though we're fifth defensively, we have a hard time overcoming it. We're eighth in the league in first quarters. We're 10th in the league in third quarters. We're 18th in fourth quarters, which isn't great. It's the same concept, though. We're ninth in the clutch. So in all those areas, we're pretty good. And then all of a sudden, there's these second quarters. We're 30th in the league offensively in second quarters, fifth defensively, and 21st overall. That's killing us. That might be, you know, for all the other conversations of everything else, that's, there are other things that could fix us offensively. So how could I have been so wrong? Let's look at points gained last year compared to this year and look at what I was projecting off of, which was last year's systems to be this year's team. So Rudy Gobert last year was a 2.8 points gained. For those who don't know points gained is you use your use of offensive possessions, scoring opportunities compared to the league average. So that last year, Rudy used 12 scoring opportunities a game and was a 2.8. This year, Rudy's scoring is getting about 10.6. Last year, Rudy's scoring opportunities were 11.6. This year, it's 10.6. So for all the griping of not getting the ball, there actually seems to be about a single scoring opportunity a game difference. Rudy, in turn, is down from 2.8 to 2.2. Okay, so we lose 0.6 of our point gained on a given night. By the way, 1 point on this it actually comes out to about 2.7 wins per season. Bojan Bogdanović, who last year was a 1.6 points gained, is a 2.0. Okay, so in his 17 scoring opportunities a night, he's a 2.0. We're plus 0.4. Tony Bradley, in his limited action, is a 0.8 and is a positive 1.4 up from last year. His 0.8 is pretty good. Only using 3 scoring opportunities a night. Tony Bradley's been okay in this regard. Royce O'Neal is a 0.8 also, which is great. That's up from 0.3 last year. So Tony Bradley's up 1.4 from last year because he played so very rarely. Well, actually, just because he wasn't very good when he played last year. I mean, very little. I think he played like 50 minutes. Royce is up 0.45. Boyan's up 0.4. Rudy's down a little bit. George Niang is the exact same, 0.3. Dante's not applicable at this point, having played, you know, as 58 minutes. Emmanuel Mudiay's better than my projection system had it last year. He's sliding the wrong direction. He's in a horrendous 4-game stretch that hopefully he bangs out of really quickly. But in the last 4 games, Emmanuel Mudiay is 4 of 20, 0 of 5 from 3, and has not taken a free throw. It's a little disconcerting. But, you know, guys hit slumps, so hopefully he bounces us out. But Moutier, so Moutier's up. Moutier's plus 0.5. So Moutier's better than we expect, should have expected, plus 0.5. Tony Bradley's 1.4 up. O'Neill's 0.5 up. Bogdanovich is 0.4 up. And this is where we missed. Ed Davis, who was a positive 0.7 last year, is a minus 0.5 right now offensively. There's been no offensive rebound follows for him. Ed Davis is shooting 38.5% 12 minutes a night. Veteran, locker room guys love him. One of everyone's favorite teammates, tough as heck. Need more out of him. Jeff Green, who last year kind of had this revival in Washington, was a plus 1.0, is not happening right now. He is a minus 0.5. He is shooting 37% from the field and 31% from three. On the road trip, he was 47%, but he was 21% from three. He's one of his last 14 for three. He's going through a big adjustment. He's playing his lowest minutes played, his lowest field goal percentage, lowest assist rate, you know, highest turnover rate he's ever had in his career. He's 33. Aging seems to not be an issue for him. He's so athletic. But in his 8 scoring opportunities a night, he is scuffling. And so, and I'm wondering last year what he had. Last year, his score, he had 10 scoring opportunities a night. So not a dramatic difference. Probably feels like it to him. It's 20%. But he was a 1.0. He went to the free throw line 10% of his times. He's great at getting in the line. This year he's going 13%, which is super impressive. So he's not making his shots right now. So Jeff Green, who he had as a 1.0, maybe falsely, maybe that was a mistake, is a negative 0.5. So Ed Davis is down 1.2. Jeff Green is down 1.5. Remember, a point can be as much as 2.7 wins. Donovan, who a lot of us is expected would have a much more efficient year. My system actually did not project it. My system kind of just projected him to stay as is exactly as is. He's a minus 0.9 offensive player. His shot distribution, not location on the floor, but twos, threes, turnovers, how he's using possessions, is a little different this year, but not dramatically. He's turning it over less. Excuse me. His free throw rate is about the exact same. He's taking 2% of his possessions less as threes and 5% more as twos. So instead of turning it over, he's getting into the lane and taking that 2-point shot. But Donovan's the same. Joe Ingles is minus 1.3 compared to what he was a year ago. Joe was a plus 0.4. Joe doesn't go to the free throw line much, so he's got to shoot it well. He's at 39% from three, and now all of a sudden Joe is at 31% and 36% overall, and he's at a minus 0.7. And then, honestly, the one that has got to be the biggest decline of any player in the NBA is Mike Conley. Mike Conley has gone from a positive 0.4 to a minus 1.7. That one's hard. We have, really, if that doesn't rectify itself, then it's going to be hard. His shot distribution is not dramatically different. His turnovers are way up. That's the sign of his lack of comfort. Trying to get teammates involved. He's turned it over 9% of his possessions last year. This year, he's turning it over 13%. He went to the free throw line 13% of his possessions last year. It's down to 10. He shot a 30% of his possessions last year. It's at 32% this year, so that's in the right direction. And he shot twos last year 48.9% of the time. It's down to 46. So he's just not getting fouled as much. He's turning it over a little bit more. And then he's just not making his shots. Last year, 44%, 36% from three. This year, 37% across the board. But minus 1.6, so he's minus 2.1. So the Davis, Green, Ingles, Conley, pretty significant. -6.1 off of what was projected off of last year in those four players alone so far, which is not, and Gobert's down slightly, which the positive of Boyan, the positive of Royce, the positive of Tony Bradley, the positive of Emmanuel Mudiay can't overcome that. -6.1 in those four, Rudy -0.6. And you go from one of the best offenses in the league to something less. It's too bad. We have great listeners to Locked On Jazz. One of them is Sarah. She owns Sunprint Solutions. And Sunprint Solutions is a really neat Utah-based company. They can solve all of your printing needs you possibly could have. The best way I can describe it is that Sunprint Solutions, Utah-based company, could help your company, I promise, because it can help every single one of our sponsors. For Intercap Lending, they have their authorization so that they can keep all the data private. They're certified in that regard, so they can do all of their required printouts. For the store, they could do all sorts of fun little things for their vendors or coupons for their patrons. For Murdoch Hyundai, they could do pieces for the showroom, as well as statements, as well as things for vendors as well. Any printing, direct mail, digital printing, packaging, all of those things. They work with Zions Bank. They've worked with the Utah Jazz. They are trusted. They do wonderful work, and they do it well. It's Sunprint Solutions. You can reach Sarah at S-A-R-A at Sunprint Solutions. They're located in West Valley, a Utah-owned local company. Sarah, S-A-R-A, at sunprintsolutions.com. You can also call them at 801-972-6120. That's 801-972-6120. Wanted to take a quick scan around the league. We usually do that on Mondays. We didn't get to it. Last night was kind of a wild night in the NBA. Miami beats Toronto in overtime. Kyle Lowry came back and went 2 of 18, which did not help Toronto any. He will eventually, but he did go 2 of 18. Miami's interesting, though. I mean, they keep winning. They're 15-5. I think we've got to believe in them a little bit. Dallas, Luka had 18 rebounds last night. I mean, Luka's LeBron James, who just happened to go third in the draft. Who blew that? Well, Phoenix and Sacramento, to be specific. Both with inside knowledge. Talk about knowledge giving you too much than you need to know. New Orleans goes to 6-15. Spurs might have had that night last night where they just announced that they weren't quite dead yet. A double overtime win over the Houston Rockets. They go to 8-14. Phoenix just has not run away. Phoenix has lost 7 of 10. Aaron Baines came back for them, and they got back on the winning way, beating Charlotte the night before last, and they have been, and they desperately needed that. Aaron Baines being out has hurt them. Actually, Baines did not play. I thought Baines was back. Tyler Jerome came back and made his first appearance of the year for them. Frank Kaminsky played center. They need Aaron Baines. That has been the key for them. When you get to your third string center, it gets tough. When you get to the third string of any position, you have a hard time. And then the Clippers blew out Portland last night, not too surprising. Carmelo came back to life a little bit. Paul George had 25. Montrezl Harrell had 26. They're great. The teams that we thought were going to be great are great. The Lakers are 18-3. The Clippers are 16-6. Denver is 13-5 and seems a little off of where they were, largely just because Jokic doesn't seem there. Houston is kind of what we thought they would be, and we're not quite there. We're off beat a little bit, but we're right back in that. This grouping, Dallas is the surprise team in it, but the Lakers and Clippers are running away a little bit, kind of as I think everybody wondered if they would, right? That was the big question in the offseason. Are they that much better? Interesting little note, over the last 2 weeks, Dallas is by far and away the best point differential team in the league with the number one offense. But the stunner on me on Dallas is they're the number three defense in the league. Milwaukee is the number two differential. Philadelphia is number three differential. Toronto's the number four differential. Indiana's the number seven differential. We do this for teams. Or just we happen to face teams at the wrong time. Lakers come in as the 11th best differential. As much as we feel like we're struggling, we're 17th in differential. We're in minus in that time period, but we still have separated ourselves from the rest of the group in the NBA. Dallas is really the story right now. Houston's offense has kicked in. They're third in the league offensively, doing everything we thought they would do. The crazy one is that Portland's offense has kicked back in. Even with all their injuries, they just can't get enough stops to get people right. And we'll keep an eye on that one, whether they get going any more than they are right now. Defensively, there's no big surprises taking place other than Denver just kind of holding their spot as the number one defensive team in the league. The only team playing defense much better, two teams playing defense much better than they usually do, Minnesota is right now. And then Brooklyn, because Kyrie's not playing, is the eighth best defense. They're 18th in the league. They're about 24th when Kyrie was playing because defense matters. I know it's hard for people. All right, Jazz and the Lakers tonight should be a great deal of fun. Thanks for tuning in. It is a Wednesday, which means you can get Locked On NBA with John and Jake or Rejecting the Screen. Yesterday was a lot of fun, so just tell your smart device to play podcast Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day.